Revelation, the seventh chapter. Revelation, chapter 7. So we continue our study of this great book in God's Word. Revelation 7, beginning in verse 1, down through verse, 17. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind should blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those that were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. And from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. After these things, I looked. Behold, a great multitude which no one could count from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders answered, saying to me, "These who are clothed with white robes, who are they? And from where have they come?" And I said to him, "My Lord, you know." He said to me, "These are the ones who've come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God. They serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne shall spread his tabernacle over them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd and shall guide them to springs of the water of life, and God shall wipe every tear from their eyes." God, would you just make this known to us today? Lord, this is the revelation of Jesus, your Son. Lord, reveal yourself in your word today. We pray in Christ's name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Revelation 7, 1 through 17. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24, he said, "For then there shall be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall. And unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved." The tribulation. The majority of the book of Revelation is talking about that time which Jesus is referring to here, the great tribulation, the seven-year period where the wrath of God is being poured out upon this earth. Chapters 6 through 18 describe what's going to take place on earth during the tribulation. Last week, we studied chapter 6. By the way, let's go to the next slide here. What we have in the tribulation, we have three sets of judgments. And you'll see that as we go through this book of Revelation. We have, first of all, the seven seal judgments. And then, starting in chapter 8, we have the seven trumpet judgments. And then toward the end of the tribulation period, we have the seven bowl judgments. And that's chapter 6 through chapter 18. And last week, you remember, we saw the first six of the sealed judgments. You remember when Christ broke the seal on the book or on the scroll, the first of the four horsemen of the apocalypse came forward riding on a white horse. Who was he? Who did we say he was? Antichrist. When we are raptured, Antichrist will be revealed and come onto the scene, conquering, and he comes to conquer and to conquer the whole world. The second horse, or the second seal, was the red horse. And that symbolized, you remember what that symbolized?
War.
And you remember the color of blood and war. And he will go forth, and there will be wars and rumors of war during the tribulation period. The third horse was the black horse, which symbolized
famine.
There'll be famines all over the world. Jesus said all of these things in Matthew 24 and all of that discourse. There'll be famine. In fact, during that time, one day's work will buy one day's worth of food. And I'll tell you what, with the escalating food prices, you see it around the world. Famine is here right now, but it will escalate during the tribulation period. And then that last horse, that pale green or ashen horse, symbolized, you remember what that was? Death, pestilence, disease, and it's going to, there will be, during that time, one-fourth of the population that's left behind after the rapture will die during this time. Then we saw the fifth seal that was broken, and you remember there were many martyrs. We'll talk a little bit more about that today. But martyrs, people that stand up for the faith in Jesus Christ during the tribulation, are going to pay the price. If you don't take the mark of the beast, which we'll get to in Revelation chapter 13, you will not be able to buy or sell, and you will forfeit your life. And then the sixth seal that was broken, you remember what that was? Yeah, there's going to be great worldwide disasters. There'll be signs in the heavens and on earth. There'll be earthquakes, and there'll be unbelievable disasters all over the earth. And these are just the first of the six judgments that come forth in the tribulation. But we saw that. Now, between the sixth and the seventh seal, there is a law. There's chapter 7. In wrath, God remembers mercy. And that's what we have here in chapter 7. In wrath, God remembers mercy. You see, the last of the sixth judgment was poured out up in chapter 6, verse 12. But if you look over, the seventh seal is not broken until chapter 8, verse 1. In chapter 7, we see, falls right in between these. It's a law in the storm. Four angels who have been given to hurt the earth and the sea, verse 2 of chapter 7, are commanded by a fifth angel to pause in pouring out judgment until certain events can take place. And what are some of those events? First of all, if I can have the next slide, we see the sealing of the 144,000 in verses 3 through 8. The sealing of the 144,000. If you look there, he says, in verse 3, do not harm the earth and the sea and the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000. Now the question, first question we have to ask is, who are these 144,000? Who are they? You know, some groups have claimed to be the 144,000. The Seventh-day Adventists used to claim that their group was the 144,000. If you've ever talked to a Jehovah's Witness, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they used to say, we're the 144,000. Then their group grew larger than 144,000. So they changed and said, well, the 144,000, these are the hierarchy in the Jehovah's Witnesses church. Not. You know, it's not the Jehovah's Witnesses, and it's not the Seventh-day Adventists or any other group like that. Some people, though, also believe that these 144,000, they think it's the church. And folks, I'll tell you, one of the biggest errors that leads to some of the gravest heresy and misteaching in the church today is to confuse the church and Israel. To confuse the church and Israel. Today, there's that confusion. But if you believe in the literal interpretation of Scripture, we're told who the 144,000 are. These are 144,000. Do you see it there at the end of the verse 4? From who? From the tribes of Israel. From the sons of Israel, or the tribes of Israel. They are Jews who are alive during the tribulation. Note, I want you to note that God has a future and an exciting plan for Israel. And I'll tell you, some people say, no, God's done with Israel. If he's done with Israel, why in the world did that nation come into existence on May 14th, 1948? It's one of the greatest miracles that ever took place in history. It's because God has a plan for Israel. He has a plan. This is another reason why I believe, folks, these are Jews. I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I believe we're going before these judgments are poured out on earth. We see here in the tribulation period that God is dealing again with the nation Israel, not with the church. In the Old Testament, the tribulation is called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's the 70th week of Daniel. Remember what the angel told Daniel in Daniel chapter 9? He said, Daniel, 70 weeks of years have been declared or ordained for your people, Daniel. Now, who's Daniel's people? The Jews, the Israelites. And if you look in history, he says, from the issuing forth of a decree to go and restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 69 weeks of years, 483 years. And scholars have figured this out. In 445 BC, Artaxerxes declared to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. And if you add 483 years, you come down to the very day when Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, declaring himself Messiah the Prince. And after that, he will be cut off, and he was. And there was going to be a gap between the 69th year, or 69th week of years, and the 70th week. And we are in that gap. It's called the church age. But there's a seven-year period coming, the 70th week of Daniel, where God once again deals with the Jews. The first 69 weeks of years, it was all Jewish. The last 70th week is also Jewish. Now, I want to show you a little illustration, because I think Harry Ironside gave this illustration in his book on Revelation. If I could have the next slide, please. Let me show you what he said. In the Old Testament, folks, Old Testament, Israel is on the main line of God's program. God chose Israel to be the vehicle through whom he would bless the world. He was going to use Israel, the descendants of Abraham, to bring in the Messiah. And Israel was to be God's salt and light in the world. They were to be, according to Isaiah, God's witnesses, to take God's message and God's word and the word about the coming of Messiah to the whole world. They were on the main line. They were God's program, Old Testament. But something happened in the New Testament. You remember, Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. He came to the nation Israel. Can you imagine that? They had the word of God. They had the promise of Messiah. They had all the prophecies. And he came to his own, and they said, we don't want you. And they rejected Messiah as a nation. And what happened is, Israel came over on the sidetrack. And now, on the main track, guess who's on the main track? We are. The church is God's program. Folks, Israel's not God's program today. God is not dealing on the main line with Israel today in this world. He is dealing with the church. He is working with the church. Today, Old Testament, he said, you're my vehicle to reach the world, Israel. They didn't do too good of a job. But now, he said, ye are the light of the world. You are my witnesses. You are the ones that are to reach the world with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are on the main line. Israel has pulled to the sidetrack. They're on the sidetrack. The Church Express is coming through. But something's going to happen, folks. We're about ready to jump track. See it over here? You probably can't see that. But we're about ready to jump track. There's something coming. The next actual event on the prophetic timeline is the rapture of the church. Jesus is going to come back with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. And I'll tell you what, we're jumping track. And you know, you see it in Revelation, don't you? In the first three chapters of Revelation, the word church, ecclesia, is mentioned 19 times. But after Revelation 4, 1 and 2, where John goes up, I'll tell you what, you don't find the word church anymore. In chapter 6 through 18, you don't find the word church anymore. It's not there. You see, we go off the air at the end of chapter 3. We go off the air because we go up in the air. And we're going to jump track. But you know what's going to happen then, said Harry Ironside? What's happening then is Israel's back on the main line. God starts dealing with Israel again. God starts using the Jews again. There is a plan for Israel. You see, Revelation 6 through 18 is the tribulation, 7 years. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. It's the time of Daniel's 70th week. 70 weeks have been ordained for your people, Daniel. God starts dealing with the Jews again. And the church, Revelation 4 and 5, is up in heaven. We're coming back with him at the end of the tribulation. We'll see that in Revelation chapter 19. But this is exciting, folks. So God, again, is dealing with the Jewish people. 144,000 are saved, redeemed, believing Jewish people. You know, God always has a remnant. He always has a remnant. And how do we know? The angel said, we need to place God's seal on them. He also calls them the servants of God. The seal was a seal is a guarantee of ownership and security. That's what they used seals back then for. Ownership and security. And these, they're going to be sealed on their forehead because God's saying, they belong to me. And he will keep them safe during this time of the tribulation. By the way, folks, do you know we're sealed? Ephesians 4:30 says that we have been sealed by who? The Holy Spirit. We belong to God. You don't own yourself. God owns you. And he has pledged security. He's going to get us to heaven. I'll tell you, he's going to get us through. Somebody told me last week after I preached on Revelation 6, they came to me and said, man, that scared me, Pastor. That scared me. I'm going to tell you what, you're sealed. God will take care of you. All we have to be worried about is being faithful to God. But he'll take care of us. He'll get us through. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Don't have to be afraid. Don't have to be worried. We're going to get there because we're sealed too. Somebody says, well, what is the seal? You know, I read, and I'm not even going to tell you the commentator because I really like him and I don't want to disparage his name, but he said, nobody knows what the seal is. Well, I disagree. I know what the seal is. How do you know, Pastor? Keep your hand here. Turn to Revelation 14, verse 1. It tells us. You know, it's interesting how Scripture explains Scripture. Revelation 14, verse 1 tells us what seal is on their head. And I looked, and behold, the Lamb of God was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. That's the seal. It's the Father's name and Jesus' name on the foreheads of these 144,000 Jews. That's the seal. You want to know who they belong to? Belong to the Father and belong to Jesus. And he seals them with his own name. Praise God. Well, another question. If the church is gone, how do these people get saved? Do you ever think about that? People have asked me, these people are saved people. How do they get saved if the Spirit's gone? Doesn't 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 say the restrainer is going to be taken out of the way? The church, when the church goes, the Holy Spirit in the church is going too? Well, yeah, but the Holy Spirit will still be here, won't he? Oh, sure he will. He's what? Omnipresent. He'll be here like he was here in the Old Testament. He won't be here in the church, but he'll be here like he was in the Old Testament. And you know what? There's going to be millions of Bibles that are left behind. That are left behind. And after the rapture takes place, there's going to be curiosity. We better get in and see what in the world this book says. And people are going to get saved. And these 144,000 are going to, you see, in wrath, God's going to remember mercy. He's going to remember mercy. And let's look at the ministry. If we can go, what's the ministry? What's their ministry, the 144,000? God saves 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each of the tribes. What's the ministry they're going to have? Well, I'll tell you what. They are saved and sealed to serve. They're saved, listen to this, saved and sealed to serve. They're called bondservants or servants of our God, verse 3. They're saved and sealed to serve. Now, most believe that their ministry will be primarily evangelistic in nature. We're not told specifically, but the fact that they are associated with another group who gets saved during this time, verses 9 through 17, most believe, I think it's a good assumption, that the primary ministry of the 144,000 is to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ and get them saved. Now let's just stop there just for a minute. We are saved and we are sealed to serve. I hear all those amens in your heart. We are. We're not, some church, not this church, some churches you would kind of think people were saved and sealed to sit. But we're not. We're saved and sealed to serve God, just like these people were. Now, it's interesting. Folks, the results of their ministry is phenomenal. You remember in the New Testament, God took 12 Jewish people, 12 Jews, and turned the world upside down. Can you imagine what he's going to do with 12,000 times 12, Apostle Paul's? Can you imagine 144,000 Jewish Billy Grahams being let loose on this world? I'll tell you what, their ministry, I'll tell you, the gospel is going to be preached to the ends of the earth. And multitudes, like never before, are going to get saved. There's going to be the greatest revival that ever hit this planet is going to take place during the tribulation. I'll tell you why. In wrath, God remembers mercy. You know, this, I'll tell you, studying this week, and this really helped me kind of in my view of the tribulation period. Because sometimes when we think of this awful period coming upon the earth, I don't know about you, but some people look at it and say, boy, God's mean. How mean God is to let these things happen on earth. Isn't he mean? Oh, friends. Yes, God is pouring out his wrath upon sinful man who is in rebellion against God. But folks, there's more than that. God is trying to wake people up to their need for Christ. And you know what's happening today? You see it just like I see it. People are getting hardened. People are either living more righteously for Jesus Christ or they're getting more hardened. And people's heart, when we go down to the mall and talk to people, a lot of the hearts are hardened. What is it going to take to wake them up to their need for Christ? Well, I'll tell you what, God's going to shake this world. And it's going to reel on its axis like a drunken man. And all kinds of judgment is coming on this world. And some people, you know what some people are going to do? They're going to do what they did up in chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. They're going to shake their fist at God. They're going to go try to hide. They're going to cry out. They're not going to pray to God. They're going to pray to the mountains and the rocks. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. They're going to just keep in their rebellion. But other people are going to wake up and say, oh, you know what? Maybe we better listen to what the Bible says. Maybe we ought to get ready right with God. And I'll tell you what, these people are going to tell them about Jesus. And there's going to be a great revival. Well, that's the 144,000. There's a second thing we learn here in verses 9 through 17, and the revealing of the great multitude. The great multitude. Now, it's, the 144,000 could be numbered. But if you look at verse 9, it says there's a great multitude, a great company, so vast, no man could number them. There's a lot of people. That's what it's saying. A lot of people. I mean, these are a lot of people. Now, the identity, who are they? Again, mistakenly, some identify these people with the church. But folks, this cannot be true, at least if you hold to a pre-tribulation rapture, which I am thoroughly convinced is going to happen. Because they are specifically identified down in verses 13 and 14, as the elder asked John, he asked him the question, who are these and where did they come from? And John says, come on, you know. John didn't know. John didn't say, oh, they're the church. I think if they'd have seen it and it was the church, he'd say, oh, they're the church. Or they're Old Testament saints that got raised up. He didn't say that. He said, come on, elder, you know who they are. And so he says, yeah, you're right, I do. And he tells them, he says, verse 14, these are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation. These are tribulation saints, and they are distinct from the church. There's a commentator by the name of Smith, not Clark Smith, not even Pastor Charles Smith, but he wrote a book called The Revelation of Christ. Listen to what he says. That they are distinct from the church appears from the following considerations. Believers living at that time of the rapture of the church will have no place or part in the tribulation. These people will live during some of the tribulation days, be killed, and received into heaven. Those, the church wear white garments, 4:4. These wear white robes. The church sit on thrones around the throne. These stand before the throne. The church wear crowns. These are uncrowned. The church have harps and vials. These have palms in their hands. The church sing a new song. These cry out with a loud voice. The church are kings and priests and reign with him. These serve him day and night in the temple. And folks, these are different from the church. These are tribulation saints, people that received Christ during the tribulation and then are martyred for their faith. Not the church. This great multitude, this is a great multitude from all nations, kindreds, peoples, tongues. They're Gentiles who believe in Christ during the tribulation and get saved. I believe that they get saved through the ministry of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. And by the way, this should broaden our view of heaven. You know, some groups think that they're the only ones that are getting to heaven. Some churches or denominations think that there's only going to be like a Baptist up in heaven. Some people think that only their race is going to be up in heaven. I got news for you, folks. They're going to be surprised. Because there's going to be people from every tongue and every tribe and every people and every nation and every color. There's going to be even some from churches you think, oh, no, people are going to get to heaven. I tell you, you'll be surprised what God is going to do. And they'll be clothed with white robes. And I love this. The white robes are going to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Do you see that there? In verse 13, clothed in white robes. And from where do they come? And talks about they're in white robes that made white, verse 14, through the blood of the Lamb. By the way, that's the only way to get your robes white. It's the only way to get to heaven is through the blood of the Lamb. That's the only way. Could my zeal no respite know? Adam sang it. Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. And it's only through the blood of Christ. Let it ring from the pulpit. The blood of Christ. Our righteousness and our works are like filthy rags to God. You say, I'm pretty righteous, Pastor. Yeah, compared to who? Compared to me? Oh, you look pretty good. Compared to Jesus? You're a wretched sinner. And the only way we can get up to heaven is by clinging to the cross of Christ, being washed by the blood of the Lamb. So again, let me ask you something. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? These saints that come out of the tribulation have white robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. They've been forgiven. They have been robed in His righteousness, fit for heaven. Amen. And again, I think for the most part, these are saints that have been martyred for their faith. They'll accept Christ and not take the mark of the beast, and they'll be put out to death for their stand for Christ. They have palms in their hand, though, because they're victorious, because they stood to the end. And all those who stand to the end shall be saved. All those who stand. Now, their activity. What are they doing? It's so neat to look at these. They are crying out, down in verse 10, they are crying out, salvation belongs to God and to the Lamb. And they are affirming, what they're affirming is, you know what? It's because of you, God, we're here. Salvation belongs to you, God. You made it possible. If it weren't for your work on earth, if it weren't for your work on Calvary, Jesus, if you didn't draw us, God, we wouldn't be here at all. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. I mean, they're just giving God the praise. It's because of you, God. It's because of you, Jesus, that we're here. Salvation belongs to you. I want you to note this. This is so neat. Note the angels are not worshiping, that are worshiping, and look at what they say. They say, verse 12, look at verse 12, just for a minute. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might, honor and glory and blessing. You know what I notice there? The angels say nothing about salvation. Why is that? Because they don't know. They have never been saved. So they don't know experientially what you know if you've been saved. You know things angels don't know. Because the angels don't know. They long to look into salvation. They try with all their mind to understand salvation. They rejoice when one sinner repents. But they don't know what it is to be saved. Do you know what? I thought about this. Remember last week in our service? I'll tell you, that communion time, I'll tell you, that has blessed me all this week. When people were standing up and saying, I remember when I was saved. And God changed my life. That was so precious. But you know what? An angel couldn't do that. An angel, they were looking down at the service and saying, I don't understand that. They don't know what it is to be saved. Only we do. And I'll tell you what the outcome of ourselves, I have not seen, ear hath not heard. It's not entered into the heart of men all that God has prepared for us. What He's going to do. But I'll tell you, when one soul repents, when one candle is lit, the angels rejoice. Can you imagine the picture in heaven when this horde from earth arrives in heaven? The party that's going to take place? Oh my, oh my. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day. I'll tell you, they rejoice. They're going to be rejoicing. And verse, therefore, they served God day and night. I'll tell you, this 144,000 get up there, and there's going to be a celebration, and it says that they serve God day and night, the 144,000. They get to heaven, and they serve God. You know what? Isn't it sad that these 144,000 and this multitude, really the multitude that get up to heaven, this great multitude, they accept Jesus during the tribulation, but they don't have an opportunity to serve God because they are immediately martyred. They get saved and they get martyred, but when they get up to heaven, they serve God in heaven. I'll tell you, verses verses 15 through 17 give us a little glimpse of heaven. It says, he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. This is, in fact, this is what makes heaven heaven. It's not golden streets. It's not pearly gates. We will see golden streets and pearly gates, but that's not what makes heaven heaven. What makes heaven heaven is Jesus is going to be there, and God is going to be there. That's where God's presence is manifested. And they'll get a glimpse, and right in the middle of everything, it says there is the Lamb is in the center of the throne, and he will shepherd them. He will shepherd them. I love that. He meets all their needs. There's no longer any hunger, no thirst, no scorching sun. They had these on earth, but no more. They had experienced all these, but in heaven, Jesus will shepherd them and shepherd us. And he will lead us and feed us and guide us and guard us and meet every need and wipe away every tear from the eye. Oh, what a day. I don't know about you. I'm longing more and more for heaven. What a day. Well, what's it all mean to us? What's it all mean to us? If I could have the next. First of all, application. This chapter is a great encouragement to evangelism and missions. Folks, the whole book of Revelation is an encouragement to evangelism and missions. You can't read the book of Revelation and really take it to heart without developing a global outlook. Now, they talk about a global economy today. We need a global outlook as Christians. We need that. The whole book, but it says here that the Lamb died to redeem people out of every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation. The great multitude pictures here all nations, kindreds, peoples, tongues. Jesus Christ said in Mark 16:15, go, therefore, and be my witnesses to all the peoples of the earth. It starts here. Starts at the Haven of Rest. Starts down at the jail. It starts down at the mall on Friday nights. But it starts in your machine shop. It starts in your office. It starts in your neighborhood. As Ernie encouraged us, we need to be about the business of the church. Folks, let me say this. In the Old Testament, Israel was God's vehicle. They were to go to the world and bless the world. They were the light of the world. During the tribulation period, the Jewish nation is going to be the light of the world. They are going to be, once again, the ones through whom God works to reach people for Jesus Christ. But now, it's us. We're the ones. I'll tell you, Old Testament, really, the nation Israel blew it. And they're on the sidetrack. And the church express is going through. We need to be about reaching people for Christ. That means personal evangelism. And I know so many of you are telling people about Christ. Praise God. Whatever means, through mentoring, through going down to the mall, through whatever means, we got to tell them. It doesn't stop there. We got to give to missions. We got to build mission churches. We've got to go to the uttermost parts, because that's our job now. One day we're jumping track. But now we got to be busy. Second thing. In wrath, God remembers mercy, but never presume on the mercy of God. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Tell you what, there are people that have never accepted Christ that will tell you, well, I'll just wait until the church jumps track, until the rapture comes, and when I see that happen, then I'll receive Jesus. Oh, that is dangerous. And here is something I really disagree with the series. What is the series by Tim LaHaye and Left Behind? I disagree with something. They picture people hearing the gospel and rejecting the gospel, and then the rapture comes and, oh, let's accept Jesus now. Folks, I'm not sure that that's going to happen. Because if you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, listen, these are the words, God will send a deluding influence upon them so that they will believe Satan's lie and they will not come to Christ. And I'll tell you what, you know what? What it's saying basically is you can't outsmart God. You don't play games with God, because you know what? If you do, you lose. And even if, and I know God's merciful, even if somebody can hear the gospel now and receive Christ in the tribulation, you don't want to be here. You don't want to be left behind. Because those that are left behind, if you stand for your faith, you'll probably be martyred for your faith. And it's not a good thing to be left behind. In wrath, God remembers mercy. But don't presume on the mercy of God. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. So folks, let me just ask you, if there's someone here today, and again, I don't know your hearts, but if you're here today and you've never received Christ, you know what I would love to do today? I'd love to light that fifth candle. In fact, I'd like to buy some more candles and light some more. And all you need to do today is open up your heart and say, Jesus, with your strength, I will turn from my sin. I'll repent. And I'm placing my faith and trust in you, what you did on Calvary for me. I believe you rose from the dead. Come into my heart, and you'll be saved. And I'd invite you, as we sing this last hymn, to make that public and come forward and just kneel here. Clark, one of our elders will come up and just kneel with you and pray with you. But don't put it off. Close with this. Down the mall on Friday night, talking to three young men. And I know that Beth and Evie said some of the same things, but I looked at these three men, Mike, Cameron, and Jeff. And I said, Mike, when are you going to die? He said, I don't know. Cameron, when are you going to die? I don't know. Jeff, when are you going to die? I don't know. I said, that's the point. We don't know, do we? But I'll tell you what, today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that in your wrath you remember mercy. Thank you so much that right now, during this age, the door of heaven is open. The invitation is extended that whosoever will may come. And Lord, my prayer today is, Lord, if there's anyone here that has not received Christ, oh Lord, have them come forward. And have them accept you. But it would just be an encouragement even for the church to see you save souls here today, Lord. And let us light that fifth candle. Lord, we just put that in your hands. It's not to any man's glory, Lord. It's only salvation unto you, Father, and unto the Lamb. It belongs to you. And then, Lord, we're saved and sealed to serve. And maybe there are those here today that need to make that commitment. I'm going to serve the Lord. And they want to come forward and just make that commitment. Just touch us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and God's people said, Amen.